Good now, this is Daryl as a service flying solo today without Daniel, but he'll be back again next week, I'm sure. You've seen our headline this week. It's quite a doozy, isn't it? The community has definitely been talking about this one, about certain changes to Chrome if you're using it. We're also covering off, the second biggest announcement this week as well was around customer support data that was accessible from the internet. We'll get into that a bit more. And what of the third one? Let's take a look at some of the view of Outlook on the web from your mobile.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
This is Daryl as a service. Welcome to a solo show where I am helping you plan for change, prevent or fix, and stay informed about stuff within the 365 Message Center. If you didn't catch it, yeah, Daniel isn't here today, but that's cool. He'll be back next week. Be thinking of him. We've got a few things to go through. Just the messages are a bit light, but they're a very different tone this week. Not so much about, could you say features? I would say that it's more about making you aware of stuff, a real mix. We'll get into it, all right? So I've got the first one up there. And also just want to say hello to people in the chat room. Thanks for joining us. There's about five or so there right now. Feel free to sing out. I'm watching the chat there if you want to engage with the various things that I'll be talking about today. First up, Outlook for iOS and Android updates to privacy controls. Now, this message is an interesting one. It kind of spans something that Microsoft have been trying to do over the last year. The way that you submit information about how you're using Office. These privacy controls first came out with Office on your desktop for Windows and then later for Mac, as the message says. But they've finally caught up and make it possible to control those privacy controls on Outlook for iOS and for Android. So now it's consistent across Outlook wherever you're working. Can we say it? We hope that it's also, and probably was, first in place around the use of Outlook for Outlook on the web, because most of the time things are seen there first. That's where you can change things very easily because it's a web experience. But now it is also available across the apps. So that's message MC210164. And it's gradually rolling out tenant by tenant to January 2020. So that's now-ish, right? So we're just about through January, aren't we? And it should be complete through mid-March. Now, one of the things that it want to highlight about this too, that when you are using these privacy controls using mobile application management or mobile device management, then that's going to take effect on any account that is used with the Outlook mobile app. So if you are connecting your personal account for email to Outlook for mobile, then you are definitely going to see the controls take control over the personal account and that personal data there too. But if you don't have these in place, then the controls that you do put in place for your personal account will not affect your work account. So yeah, good to see that there. Right, let's keep moving up. Now this one I think is right up there with some of our big announcements this past week. And it's something that some people have got an email to say this actually relates definitely to your tenants. And others we've seen this mention, I probably don't need these actually, that they probably have seen this within their tenant. So Microsoft database containing customer support data was accessible from the internet. And the details around this are, very much like an explanation to say, hey, this is what happened and this is where things went wrong. like a lot of these weaknesses are founded, as found by a third-party security researcher. They found that this database that contained customer information was open between, what was it, the 5th of December and 31st of December, and it was an internal database for support analytics. Message MC201919. It's interesting they class this as a prevent or fix because it's something that's happened after the fact. It's nothing that you can do to prevent or fix necessarily. This is all about whether you had some support cases open and you your data was available. But let's get into to what that meant, because your data wasn't as available as you'd think. So as part of our commitment to your privacy, you're receiving this message because some of your support case data was identified during our analysis. Now that suggests that this is particular to my tenant. So that's definitely me. If you had a closer look at the summary of this event, the engineers determined that the database's network security group contains some misconfigured information around security rules. So it left it open until the 31st of December. But it does talk about how the data is, redacted in a certain way. Investigations confirm that a vast majority of records were redacted as intended. In some scenarios, the data may have remained unredacted if it met specific conditions. An example being that sometimes it's a way that we do this when we're filling out forms on social media, that we think, okay, I'm going to try and avoid having my email address out there by putting a gap between the first part of the email address, the name, and the domain itself. And this seems to be a method that was used to try and make it less recognizable. But if it was not redacted, then this is still going to be picked up by a smart person. So yep, you've been warned. Look, do check to see if this message is within your tenants and if it's affecting you. If you want to follow some, we've got some actions here. Governing workshop. Yeah, so there's a few things to check out around what actions you can take. But in this case, Microsoft have plugged the gap and have prevented that data from continuing to be shared. Now, I don't know. What sort of thoughts do you have around that? Do you think there should be some kind of penalties, or is it enough to just give an explanation? Tell you one thing, at least what we have had over the number of years when these kinds of breaches and things were experienced, that the company that was holding your data would often be really tardy at letting you know that something was shared and something was exposed. And over the years, we've had rules and laws and things that have been put in place, procedures to make sure that you must tell your customers as soon as possible when data has been exposed. GDPR has been a big transforming thing as part of this process. So what actions have Microsoft taken to try and prevent this from happening again? We'd be good to hear, and would like to know about that. But yeah, we're committed to privacy and security of your data and taking actions to prevent it. And these actions include auditing established networks, expanding the scope of mechanisms to detect security misconfigurations, additional alerting services, and implementing additional redaction information. So there's a few things there, but it's not a great piece of news for that part of the week. Moving along, this one's a strange message because it doesn't really have anything to do with Office 365 or Microsoft 365. Maybe it's one way of Microsoft saying, look, we've done something about our stuff, but hey, be aware that this might affect other websites. So be aware and prepared that websites you use may not work when updated to Google Chrome version 80. And that is intended to be released by 3rd of February. So there's a few things happening with the Chrome browser. Look, I'm not right up to scratch with this, but I have heard it talked about that some of the changes are going to make it, some changes around authentication in your application. Well, these are the ways that it might affect issues you may encounter if your apps aren't prepared. You'll have problems with authentication. Your line of business apps may that rely on cross-domain cookies may break, and your SaaS applications for your organization that use run by other companies may stop working. My understanding is it's a lot around the way that cookies are handled, and Microsoft are letting us know, at least in this message, that that they have taken action for Office 365 services. So message MC201932 should give you that comfort. But it is calling out that you might want to take a look at some of your other applications that are dependent on cookies. And if you are using Chrome, Google Chrome, for publishing those and sharing them out, then definitely take a quick look. G'day Phil, thanks for joining. All right, this next message is for Yammer, updates to Yammer private messages API, a large message and mostly affecting developers and any custom development that you've done around getting into messages and potentially displaying them in different places and using them in different ways. MC201933. We're making updates to Yammer private message API. If you're not leveraging the API, then you can disregard this message. One might say that, is there any telemetry to see whether we are using this API? Should I see this message at all if I'm not using it? If you can tell that I'm not using it, yeah, maybe. Nonetheless, they have said that they're making some changes to it. And let's see, it's an expansion on the API. And if you are using it, then you would need to make sure that you're pointing to the right API. Private messages and private messages that are moved to groups can be differentiated through the tags and API responses. So they're adding a different way of being able to bring these messages together and displayed. And it just means that the development you have around this means you're going to have to filter through the messages and detect whether or not these private messages should be displayed. It actually goes to the functionality that, let's say we had a private conversation, you and I, and then it got to a point where like, okay, well, we could take this conversation over, or maybe this conversation should have been in a group. There's no need for it to be a private one-on-one. And you're able to take that conversation, put it in a group, and then the rest of the group can benefit from that. But it still has its private tags, and this is where the API is being expanded to able to cope with that, so that it can detect those messages that are in a group, and if they were private in the past, they've still got those tags, and previously the API wouldn't allow you to see that message, so now it can. So if you're into developing additional things around Yammer and bringing those messages in so you can get a holistic look of the of all the messages in the group, including those that used to be private, then you'll need to make some changes there and take a look at this message. Right, on to our headline for the week. Let's just do this. I want to be able to display just an indication here of, oh no, that's not going to work, it's a pity, of the reaction to this message in the community. New feature, questionable. Office 365 Pro Plus changes to default browser search engine. MC201872. It's a pity that Daniel wasn't here, because I'm pretty sure he has a lot to say too, and there'd be a lot to bounce off. But What is happening here is, and it was very quickly picked up by the community, that beginning version 2002 or 2002 for Office 365 Pro Plus, Microsoft will install a browser extension that makes Bing the default search engine for Google Chrome, providing benefits for Microsoft Search in the browser and to those end users. Hold it right there. Okay, stop right there. It's making a change to Google Chrome. It's using a extension that's going to be installed along with the latest version of Office 365 Pro Plus. The first reaction most people had was, hey, I'm using Google Chrome. I've chosen my default search engine. What right do you have to go ahead and change that on my desktop? Now, fair enough, you know. I'm not the biggest fan of Bing as a search engine. Must say that sometimes the results that I get are not that innocent and probably should be filtered by some kind of inappropriate filter. Hopefully better that or improve that. But on the flip side, the driver for this is because of the integration with Bing and Microsoft Search, and some have coined this as Bing for Business, Skype for Business, everything else for business. The motivation for this is to try and get Microsoft Search out and in front of more people, and that the organizations will be benefiting from seeing Microsoft Search in more places that they work. Over time, we've seen a search box appear in the Office title bar, and that's cool. That means that we can go directly up there. We can do a Microsoft search across our org. We can get information about people, about documents, about conversations, and we get those results returned. And on top of the other things that you can search and use within that search box. In fact, one of the more popular ways I'm using that is for the how do I, or the one that you can use where you can search for a command that you can't remember what it was, but it'll drop it out there and then you can launch it, such as changing a page break in a column, or maybe a formula. But out of that box, you'll get the Microsoft search results as well. So that's one factor or one vector into using Microsoft Search, but one that Microsoft clearly want us to use more is using it through Bing and combining the company search results with Bing search results as well. Now, is it really a good move though to change someone's personally chosen search engine for the browser that they choose to use? If you're using Google Chrome, I use Google Chrome because I love the profiles, I love being able to have the integration with other Google services that I use. And if something was to go ahead and change my default search engine in Google Chrome, I wouldn't be happy about that at all. And I also want to know, is this going to go and change it back each time? You know, what's the mechanism? Is it just going to keep changing it, or is it going to be a one-off thing where the extension will try to change it to Bing for Business, to Microsoft Search, and go from there? So yeah, lots of different reactions to that, and the community started a number of different threads on social media. I wish I'd been able to show you there, but that's okay. We'll leave that to another time. So I get the motivation, but it's going about it the wrong way. If you want to change the default search engine to Bing and to be able to expose Microsoft Search, we don't see that it's happening here at all for Firefox. Is this perhaps... Well, it does say Google Chrome, so I was wondering, maybe this is a way of changing it so that it's going to be available for Edge Chromium. But you know, Edge Chromium, you can bundle that and make it the default search engine and other mechanisms, right? So feel free to jump in and share your thoughts about that, because Yeah, it's not sitting well with the community. So when do we expect this change to happen? You'll see that extension come out to monthly channel targeted in February 2020, so it's not too far away. And then it should be trickling through to monthly channel, regular monthly channel, March 2020, and then semi-channel and semi-annual channel following that. So it's all mapped out, but let's see if this is another thing that the community has something to say about and the decision is reversed. There really needs to be another way investigated to expose Microsoft Search and make that available, sure, through Bing, but not certainly forcing people to do that. Anything else to say about that? Yeah, the new installations will include the extension. And it won't change it if Bing is already your default search engine. Well, that's a given. What is it going to look like? Okay, the first time that you'll see it is when Google Chrome opens up after the extension. You'll see this. It is a welcome screen. And, that's a mock-up of the welcome screen. End users may disable this extension. So you've got your answer there about whether or not it will keep changing it back to being Bing as your default search engine. So you can go through and change that. And once rolled out, end users can change it. Yep. Although this feature is rolling out initially for Google Chrome, support for Firefox is also planned. There you go. So there is a plan to try and make this the default search engine in every browser. Yeah, I don't know if they're making it for Opera as well. Microsoft Search does not search your organizations. There's a few things there that are just settling you, making your peace of mind that if you haven't even come across Microsoft Search before, then don't worry. These results that are coming from Microsoft Search are not available to the rest of the internet. They're only available to you. Yeah. Phil's got to say there, when you are given a choice beforehand and then have it taken away, yeah, you do get pretty upset about that. Very true. Yep. All right, so take a good close look at that. That's quite a large message too. It's almost like it's there's a lot there to try and help you get adoption of using Microsoft Search. And there we go. There's an adoption kit for it as well. I could just branch out and have a look at that quickly. What have we got here? Okay, cookies. Yeah. All right. So Microsoft Search. There's some really cool. Look, I've got to say, there are some very cool things about Microsoft Search. Regardless of whether Bing has been set as your default search engine or not, if you go to the extent of creating a map of your campus, or you're wanting to search across different people and where they've got their skills and you're looking for a certain person for certain things, then it's definitely a very powerful thing. There's an adoption kit, so a bunch of resources and posters and communication tools like an announcement email. Well, I'm impressed that there's this whole pack here to be able to get the message out that why use Microsoft Search. Microsoft Search and Bing tip emails, so tips, Yammer posts, sample campaign calendar. So a lot of stuff there. Do check that out. But I think the key thing here is that it's not a great thing to be able to have that thrust upon us. And so hopefully that decision is going to be reversed. And it's going to be hard to come back from that, I think. moving on to our next message, Microsoft Power Automate and Microsoft 365 Service Health and Message Center, MC201846. Right, so things were rebranded over last year. It was no longer called Microsoft Flow, now called Power Automate. So there's going to be a change there to the naming in the Service Health Dashboard, Service Center, and Message Center. What else have we got? I think that's about it. It's just a naming change. So, yeah, we're aware of it now. It's still interesting what comes through and is determined as we really need to know this, so let's drop it in the message center. And as I said, like today, it's felt like it's been a mixture of different messages. That you've got ones that are saying, "Whoops, we screwed up. Here's what we did to remediate. Sorry about that. We're going to try and prevent it." Then there's a, "Hey, you know what? We're going to change something on one of your browsers that you might use all the time. So there you go. Thanks for playing." Another message about, here's something that's changing in browsers, in that browser that you might be using, but we've done all that we can to change and fix it. So it's up to you now to go out and check and see if there's anything that might break in your environment. What a mix of messages. And then there's this one. "Hey, by the way, we're changing the name." Yeah. Not too much more to say about that. But the Outlook on the web, yeah, I wish I could get this going. Don't think it's going to work, is it? No, never mind. I wanted to show you. Let's see if it's actually an image here. No, it's not. I'll do it as a follow-up, just as a quick thing to take a quick look at later on. Outlook on the web, new experience in mobile browsers. Now, we had talked or covered this a little ways back, and Daniel and I wondered, well, do you use Outlook on the web in your web browser? Do you use the Outlook mobile app? And there were some people that brought up some good reasons about why you might be using the web browser. Perhaps your phone is quite locked down, it's a managed device in your org, or there's certain things that maybe the Outlook mobile app have not passed certain checks, so everything has been pushed through to Outlook on the web. Or maybe you might not want to use Outlook on the web, or rather Outlook mobile app, and you prefer to use your native apps for accessing your email and work. You just doing it through a browser. So there are different reasons why you might use Outlook on the web in your mobile browser. But the change occurring, MC202145, it is bringing it up to parity with the full desktop experience, at least the look and feel of Outlook on the web. So you're going to see some very familiar looking Outlook on the web views of your inbox, of calendar, of people and search. I kind of describe it as it looks almost like that left-hand column with the three choices down the bottom. You'll see messages, you'll see, what else was there? Two views of the calendar. It'll default to an agenda view, but you can go through and have a look at it as a calendar view as well. So that is rolling out to customers beginning of March, or should be out by the beginning of March, gradually rolling out to targeted release customers at the beginning of February. I'm actually seeing it now. I had a look yesterday. I think it was yesterday or a couple of days back. It's there. And I'm on targeted release, so I think maybe it's just got out a little earlier. But yeah, take a look. We're now moving forward to making it, yeah, the default experience. And removing the opt-in toggle. So it was an opt-in experience. Now it is going to be there as the default experience. So what do you need to do to prepare? Like, well, this is a message maybe you want to tell people that it looks a little different. If you're an org that is guiding people through to using Outlook in the mobile browser. But predominantly, orgs are choosing to roll out Outlook mobile and give it a full experience and have a lot more integration with other apps. And I think the other app that does support that, if you are using iOS, the Mail app does support that too. Good to know. Right, well, that was the 365 Message Center show minus Daniel today. But tune in next week. We will have Daniel back and a lot more banter. And we'll see you again next week. Bye for now.